September is a remarkable month. Not only does September traditionally mark the start of college football and the autumn equinox, it also marks the National Infection Control Month for dentistry. This short presentation will enable you to kick off the month with some great information. Undeniably, COVID has forever changed the way we practice dentistry and manage infection control. Every area of your practice has been impacted, from how we schedule and check in patients to how we don and doff all the new PPE. Frequently, when working with an office, a team will describe their infection control processes to me as pretty good. The fact of the matter is, pretty good was never good enough. Now with COVID, you can't afford not to question pretty good or the way we've always done something. For example, teams may focus singularly on individual tactics or products, such as which wipe is better, and miss the big picture. Let's take a moment, step back, and take a 30,000-foot view of your practice and look at what I call the three P's. Along the way, I have several compliance challenge questions for you. Before we get started, don't forget to download the resource sheet so you'll have all the references and links at your fingertips. Are you ready? Here's your first challenge question. Who's in charge of infection prevention in your practice? So the first P is person. Even if you say we all have some responsibility, and that's great, teamwork is wonderful, someone should at least be assigned the team lead. Your infection prevention or safety coordinator can be a clinical team member, the sterilization tech, or even the office manager, particularly if he or she has clinical experience. This is not a nice-to-know tip or something to put on your wish list. Having an infection prevention coordinator is mission critical. The coordinator must also have additional training to be fully equipped. The training I'm referencing goes beyond annual OSHA training. We are talking about specific infection control training. Several years ago, OSAP partnered with the Dale Danby Foundation to create a training pathway for dental infection prevention specialists. Check it out at dentalinfectioncontrol.org. Dentalinfectioncontrol.org. The training is online and self-paced. OSAP is the Organization for Safety, Asepsis and Prevention, and Danby is the Dental Assisting National Board. Stay tuned for more information about those organizations, and you'll find the link to the training session in the resources tip sheet. The second P is policy. Having a set of infection prevention policies and procedures to capture all of your processes in writing is more necessary now than ever. That leads us to the next challenge question. Do you know the five magic words related to policies? Well, I'll tell you. They are, what does our policy say? Anytime a question arises, there's nothing any more empowering than being able to say, what does our policy say? You have a place to look it up and coordinate the answer. You'll need a full set of policies, such as instrument processing, disinfecting the operatory, managing boil water alerts, hand hygiene, maintaining dental unit water lines, and more. Again, this is not the same thing as the required OSHA policies and procedures. If all that sounds daunting, turn to your good friends at Hugh Freedy and check out their Green Light Compliance Program. This program contains all the necessary policies and procedures, and is completely free to all IMS users. Having policies standardizes your processes, and anytime you enhance standardization, whether it's in a dental office or an airline cockpit, you drive down errors and improve safety. This brings us to the third P, processes. Before we talk more about processes, I'd like to circle back to something I mentioned a minute ago, and that is OSAP, the Organization for Safety, Asepsis, and Prevention. OSAP recently partnered with the DentaQuest Foundation to produce a document titled Best Practices for Infection Control in Dental Clinics During COVID-19 Pandemic. This is an amazing resource consisting of a compilation of all the best practices and guidelines from the CDC, OSHA, ADA, and ADHA. You'll find a link to this document in the resource sheet. Let's look at one section from that document and apply it to your COVID processes. On page 5 of the best practices, you'll find a graphic of the CDC's hierarchy of controls. It's an inverted triangle that depicts how we can control or manage exposures to occupational hazards and protect workers. The hierarchy from least to effective begins with PPE, administrative controls, environmental controls, substitution, and at the top is elimination. What's so exciting about the graphic in the best practice document is that they listed specific dental examples to help you review your COVID-19 processes. So let's zoom in from the 30,000-foot view to some of your specific processes as compared to the hierarchy of controls, starting at the bottom with PPE. As we progress through each level, here's your second challenge question. Compare what you have in place with various products or services available that can assist your COVID-19 endeavors. Then rate your practice. Okay, the first level. When it comes to PPE, granted the supply chain disruptions have been frustrating, but there is hope. It has just taken a little longer than we've all anticipated. Your COVID protocols now include more PPE than ever, due to the fact the clinical team is wearing either N95 or KN95 respirator masks, along with the fact the front office team is now wearing surgical masks. We found that many more practices have installed washer dryers instead of relying solely upon disposable gowns, you now have the predictability of having plenty of reusable gowns on hand. The next level in the hierarchy is administrative controls, which refers to how we changed the way we work. For example, implementing a respiratory protection program that includes a hazard assessment. Managing visitors and limiting point of entry is one example. So is having a respiratory and hand hygiene station in the reception area. The third level in the hierarchy is environmental controls, which involves isolating people from the hazard. Isolating and separating different spaces in your office with physical barriers and using high volume evacuation are two examples. Until COVID-19, the use of an HVE was not as common or popular in dental hygiene operatories. The fourth highest level is substitution. In other words, how can you replace the hazard? Across the board, all dental practices have revamped their patient check-in process. Instead of a waiting room filled with patients and visitors, patients are checking in and completing screening questions electronically. And that's just one example of the changes. The highest hierarchy is elimination of the hazard by physically removing it. This may include removing items and surfaces that might cross-contaminate and replacing them with non-touch options. In the business office, this may include text-to-pay options, removing toys and magazines in the reception area, as well as removing extraneous items in the operatories and using touchless faucets. Conducting patient and visitor screenings is another elimination technique. Well, how did your practice rate on that last challenge question? Is there anything you would do better or differently? As we wrap up this session, I have one more challenge question for you. Become an OSAP member today. What are you waiting for? Membership is very affordable. Check out the membership discount on the resources handout for 50% off. Now that's a no-brainer, right? As a membership based organization, OSAP has been the global leader in dental infection control since 1984. Unlock a treasure trove of infection control resources and information with your membership today and elevate the people, policies, and processes in your practice. And thank you for joining us.